Ready? He is a master storyteller. Have you guys noticed that? He is a master storyteller. I'm glad there's so many kids around today. New baby showing up. Quanda brought her new grandson. And this isn't Cohen's first time. He's been shown all over the place. And it's so exciting. I tell you, I'm gonna let Harvey share for just a second. But we've been talking about something, our mission statement. We create opportunities for people to encounter God. And that's what we do. It's like that's who we are. That's the first part of our mission statement. And last week, Harvey shared, he had a couple of more stories I wanted him to tell. Because do you know what happens when people encounter God? They experience unconditional love. That's like the next thing. Unconditional love is a who. It's more than just a thought or an idea. It's like what we do. And I want to ask you guys some questions before you share. I want to see if you guys are like this. How many of you guys are one of those people that other people just seem to naturally share their problems and their life with? Is anybody here like that besides Josh? I mean, how many of you guys are like that? Like, people are going to tell you their problems. You're just something about you. They're going to share their life with you, right? And, okay, so now how many of you are people that like to try and fix everybody? Okay, maybe not everybody. How many of you like to make suggestions of how people should live their lives, especially people you don't know, like on the internet, on the Facebook or media, whatever? You have an opinion about everything. Yeah, besides, I mean, I know there's Josh and Amanda, but some of you guys if you're a Bays or related to a Bays, that is who you are. You can't help it, Tommy. I'm sorry. I have three names today that I think God wants to do something. Because you know the purpose of what we do. We create opportunities for people to encounter God. That's why we're here today, guys. The ushers, the worship team, the people who take care of our building, the children's workers, they're all here today to create opportunities for people to have an encounter with God. And when you encounter God, you experience unconditional love. And your perspective changes in a moment. You may have taken 40 years to come up with the perspective on life you have now. One encounter with God can set you free in a moment. And it's to experience unconditional love. You know, that's what I do. Harvey talked about some of the ways he does that. One of the things I do is I intentionally put myself in positions where people tell me their problems. I mean, that is not a pastor's job description. It just happens to be one of my hobbies. I do a lot of what we call freedom prayer or freedom sessions. And if somebody has, I want to hear their problems. And I really don't want to hear their problems. I do want them to encounter God. Did you know that every time somebody presents a problem to you, you have an opportunity to bring them into an encounter with God? I don't care if it's a financial problem, a physical problem. So Harvey had a couple more that I wanted him to talk about. So Harvey, you want to come on up here? I want him to share a couple more testimonies of how he does that. And then I'll share something how I do it. And then we're going to talk about unconditional love this morning. Okay, Harvey, go for it.
Good morning. You know, Alan asked me to give a testimony, but I've got about 10 I'd like to give. So he can go sit down. And I'll just share with you some stories. You know, unconditional love, I talked about it last week. How many of you show unconditional love to people that have needs? That's something all of us should be doing. And we learned a long time ago, you know, we have a lot of people that call us that are in bondage, either from physical or emotional sickness. And a man that he was here last week when I spoke. I wanted to share a little bit about him, and maybe many of you met him. It's Byron. He goes to a church in North Little Rock. This man is a counselor. He had throat cancer, and when they removed the cancer, it took away his voice box. He's on hospice. And someone introduced us to him, and I tell you what, every week, we go to his house. We go to Sherwood and spend an hour and a half listen to him. See, basically the doctors told him there's not much they can do for him. But we show unconditional love. We go week after week spending time. And many of you, he was here last week. He comes to our church a lot to be prayed for, because when he walks in this building, he feels unconditional love from us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when we go, what we're doing is speaking life into him. You go to someone that has a need. I talked about it last week. We listen to them. And as you listen to people, you begin to understand things they need in life, and you begin speaking life into them, giving them hope. You know, maybe the world has given up on someone, but God never gives up. And we never give up. We keep going back time after time. His cancer has shrunk almost two-thirds already, you know, which is hard for the doctors to understand. But we're encouraging him, and he does have hope. And folks, we're going to keep going to him, and he's going to probably keep coming here until he walks in health. Or God sets him free in some way. You can already see what's happening in his life, because he does. That's what every one of us should be doing. I can tell you many stories. 3 weeks ago, I met with a woman here. She came from West Little Rock. No hope. Sickness, pain. She's given up in life, but not anymore, because she comes week after week, and we spend an hour or so speaking life into her.
Yeah.
Giving her hope, giving her faith that God says, we don't condemn nothing, we love them. And I tell you what, people sometimes say, why do you spend so much time with me? Because God loves you. Amen. Folks, what if every one of us did that? You know, maybe we don't have the faith for certain things, but we can show love everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And people that have a need, we keep meeting with them, loving them and loving them and loving them. That alone brings healing into someone's life.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Harvey. That because Byron's been coming when he can, and his whole countenance is lifted, and he has life again and hope. And, you know, over and over again, Harvey and the healing prayer teams will pray for people that have terminal illnesses, and some of them go be with the Lord. But you know, every single one of them are touched by someone whose name is unconditional love. I capitalized unconditional love because it is a name. And it's more than just a name. It's who God is, you know? Did you know that the very essence, and this is, I really want our perspective of the Lord to be changed today. Because the very essence of who God is love. It's like when you're talking about unconditional love, one of the things that I want you to understand about unconditional love is this. Unconditional love is love without law, without expectations. Without control. Do you know that the very beginning is God's revealing His nature through creation? He created light and dark. He created heavens and earth. He created a choice of everything. And in the garden, in the very beginning, He gave Adam and Eve a choice. Why? Because He is love. And the very foundation of love is freedom. And unconditional love, whenever we're praying for people, we don't demand they get physically healed. We don't put a burden, a guilt on them or shame because they don't get physically healed. Because all we know is if they experience unconditional love, their life will be changed and they'll have joy and peace. Do you want to know the recipe for having a successful life, of living your best life possible? It's living in a relationship with unconditional love. Does that mean you won't have any problems? No. It means you will become a problem solver. Because you know the one who can solve every problem. He's never, ever lacking. He's never. And so today I want to talk about unconditional love and more about it. Unconditional love. He's our God. He's our life. He's where our life comes from. And unconditional love is our mission. You see, it's like unconditional love is what changes the world. I tell you what, I looked for a picture of a nuclear bomb on the internet. You know, they've taken almost all violent things off the internet, so I couldn't really find one. I was told Apple doesn't even offer them anymore. I was like, oh, well. But I'm going to tell you, unconditional love is the atomic bomb in the history of the world. It is the most powerful force in the world. What Jesus started with unconditional love, what God started creation with unconditional love, is changing the world. It started then and it's still happening today. You cannot stop it. If you want to know how to help your friends, do you know why your friends are coming to you for answers? Because they sense something in you that has the answer. Did you know that the answer is unconditional love? You getting them into an encounter with Him. That's the answer. Well, that's not the answer to everything. We just sang you're beautiful. We just sang you change everything. We just sang He is everything. I was, in that thing I do where I invite people into my life, really, and I want to hear their problems. I don't care what their problems are. I want to hear their problems because I have this ace in the hole that's called unconditional love. And all I have to do is get people into His presence, and their lives are changed. So this week, I did what I do often. I made a mistake. I had an appointment with somebody to do a freedom prayer over the phone, freedom session over the phone. And the guy's name was Steve. Just making that up, just so you know. So I think it was 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, I'm supposed to have a phone session with Steve. And he has an 870 prefix phone number. So he's up from Northwest Arkansas somewhere. And so I pull my notes out because I recognize the name Steve. And I pull out because I prayed with him before. And so I pull my notes out and I call him at exactly 6 o'clock because God is punctual always. And I'm talking to him and I'm trying to, just talk about his week because I have my notes from the previous, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks since I'd prayed with him. And I asked him how college was going. And he said, well, I'm not in college. I'm like, oh. I'm just listening to him. He said, oh, I'm so glad. He said, you won't believe what God's doing. And he starts telling about all that God's doing about his anxiety and blah, 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 blah. And he's going to get married and blah, 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 blah. And I'm still like, this is the wrong Steve. Now, he doesn't know I called him by accident. That wasn't who I was supposed to call. Now, do you know God had his name? And so I was really excited. So as I'm talking to Steve, I'm looking through my notes and finding that the Steve I'm supposed to call at 6 is not the Steve I'm talking to on my phone. So I've got my phone out and I'm texting Steve that I'm supposed to be talking to instead of the Steve I was talking to. I said, give me a few minutes. I'll call you. Don't worry. I'm here. Thank you. Sorry I'm late. And I wrapped up the phone call, Steve, and I hung up and I'm talking to the other Steve who also has anxiety issues. Y'all know anxiety? Have you ever had it? Your heart races. Your mind won't turn off. You actually get physically ill. Anxiety is like a very, very painful emotion to have. It's when it's out of control. It's like fear on steroids. It can give you stomach problems and all kinds. It can give you cramps, back cramps, all kinds of things. And so anxiety, oops, sorry about that. Anxiety is really a bad thing. But, and so I look up, I'm looking at Steve's notes, and so he gets off, so I go back to the phone call, everything's fine. Well, after I get through praying with this person, I go look through my notes for the Steve I was talking to, because it's unbelievable how God had healed him. He had these unbelievable testimonies, and I'm just like, I was so glad, I called him by total accident, and it was June of last year. I prayed with him twice. All I did was brought him into an experience with unconditional love. And I was unconditionally loving him. I was giving him my time, my mind, what little bit there is of it left. And God healed him because he met unconditional love. God healed him. And his anxiety was gone. And he's getting married. He wanted me to come to the wedding. And I'm like, whatever. I don't know. It's crazy. That's what unconditional love is. So today, you know what the world needs more of? Love. But love is a name. Love's his name. That's how he identifies himself. And this morning, I want to help you. We're going to look at some scripture. I believe unconditional love is God's secret weapon to change the world. And if you're bossy, why don't you be bossy and do something that will accomplish something and be bossy about bringing people into a relationship with God? Because that's what will change their life. That's what will set them free. That's what will heal their body, heal the families, heal their relationships, their business. It's unconditional love. And he's the secret weapon. It really is. And so today, that's why we're talking about this. The very heart of our mission for being a church is to bring people, create opportunities for them to encounter God. And when you encounter God, you will experience unconditional love. 100% guarantee. And when you experience unconditional love, you'll have the best life possible. You know what? I want to look at a parable in Luke 15, if you want to look there. And this parable, in my day, it was known as the prodigal son. Now, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, they call it the loving father. This parable is Jesus telling the third of three parables about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and the lost sons. But Jesus isn't teaching parenting skills in this parable, even though it's about a father and a son. He's giving us a perception of who God is. And he's letting us understand how we relate to God. And so this morning, my prayer is, God, help us to have a revelation of who you really are. Help us to see you the way you really are. Jesus is trying to reveal to us the secret to having a good life. Right here. In this little parable, very simple parable. We think we all understand it. You know, it's really not about the law. It's about love. Now, I want you to look at this parable with me. We're going to read most of it. Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons, and the younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me? So the father went ahead and he distributed among the two sons their inheritance. You see, this is a very odd thing to happen in the Jewish culture because it was something a son, when he was mature, and these boys were probably in their 30s. These weren't 18-year-olds who have an excuse of being young and dumb. These are 30-year-old men probably. And they could ask for their inheritance. Now, what the inheritance was, this man, this father, had substantial wealth, property, and holdings. What the inheritance was the liquid assets part of what he owned. It was his bank account. It wasn't his buildings, his equipment. It wasn't his land or his farm. It was his liquid assets. And this man had substantial liquid assets. And so the man... One thing, you need to know this, it was very, very disrespectful for a son to go and ask for his part of the inheritance before the father was dead. It was the rudest thing you could do because this would be a son going to his dad who had provided everything for him his whole life and saying, you know what, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be any part of anything to do with you. I want what you owe me. Pretty entitled, wasn't he? I want what you owe me. And the law didn't say he had to give it. He didn't owe him anything. And I'm going to take what you give me. And the parable says, I'm going to go off as far away from this type of living. I don't want to live this way. And so the father did. It says his inheritance. And you guys know this. You know this because y'all feel it just like the father felt it. Do you know that word for inheritance was bios, B-I-O-S. It's a term that means his life. You guys know this. When you're providing for your family, what are you giving them? Your time, your energy, your youth. You're giving them your life. It's not a small thing. When you serve somebody and take care and just in charity give something of value and importance to somebody, you're giving them part of your life. Guys, when we give money to the church to take care of people, we're giving the church, that money represents my life. It's a part of me. It's what I spent my hours doing. And this man had given his life building up this estate, building up this farm, providing for all these people. He had many employees that he was providing for too. He had spent his life making that money. It wasn't just money. It was his who he was. And that's why they use the word inheritance. When you give something away, it's not just you're giving away something that's nothing. You're giving away part of yourself and something that you sacrificed for. And this man gave inheritance. He gave his bios. He gave his life to his sons, both of them. The younger son, the law, Jewish law was, he got one-third, and the older son got two-thirds because he was the firstborn. And so we'll say $300,000 to the younger son, $600,000 to the older son. Now, it didn't leave the father destitute. He still had his business. He still had his properties. He still had everything. So he wasn't destitute. But that was substantial. It was a lot. And what did the son do? He went to a far-off land where he wasted it all. Extravagant, reckless living. And he spent it all. And it doesn't say how long it took him. Months. I'm assuming months and months. So it was quite a bit of money. But at the end of the time, he's out of money. And you're reading verse 15. That word begged. It wasn't he went and got a job. There weren't any jobs because there was an extreme famine coming into that land. He went and begged for charity. He basically, when it says he went and got a job feeding the pigs, that wasn't, you didn't get paid for that. You just got to eat the scraps. In other words, he was living on the street, working just to eat out of the trash can. That's how that boy was living. Nobody'd give him anything. That boy had grown up with everything. Now he's out there and he's on his own. And then it's very, I really love the way, you see, his dad was loving him. Unconditionally. Because you know what unconditional love looks like, right? We're going to see a picture of unconditional love in this father. One thing he didn't do, his dad wasn't sending him an allowance while he was living off in that land. You see, for the son, it was always about the dad's stuff. It was about what the dad could provide for him. You know what it was, and for the dad, you know what it was about? The relationship. He wanted his son. He loved him. So the son finally realized in verse 17 that what he was doing, he said, man, the workers. And you know that word workers there is the word bond slave? In their day, it's not very much different than the way we work in our world too, not quite as extreme. But they had people that could who ran their business, ran their farm, who would run their business, and they had people who couldn't make enough money to provide for their wife and their kids. They couldn't survive. And so they would go to this man. Say, listen, I will be your slave if you'll take care of us. And it was a choice. And so it was basically that he would employ them, but he would provide everything for them. And this man didn't have any in slaves that were forced to be slaves. He had families that said, living with you is better than living out there. I want to live with you. And he would take care of them. And his slaves had plenty to eat. His slaves had a good place to live. They were well off in that world at that time. And he said, the son said, I'll go back and just be one of those and work for my dad. And he figured all that out all by himself. He finally realized, what did he realize? He thought he would be happier living separated from that relationship. He would no longer have the constraints of that relationship. He'd no longer have the responsibilities. You know how much responsibility it is to be a son of a wealthy farmer? It's a lot of responsibility. He'd no longer have all that stuff. But you know what the truth is? He wouldn't have that relationship anymore. And when he broke that relationship, the father's heart was broken. I don't know if you ever thought about that. when we break our relationship with the Father, I mean, what hurts you? What hurts us when broken relationships? I can't imagine how painful it is. And you know how painful it is for God when we break our relationship with Him? You see, so He just said, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. He made up this story, right? Y'all have all read this parable. It's a very important parable about the nature of God. And so the younger son, he started home. And then from a long distance away, his father saw him coming. The son is, you know what poverty does to you? Long-term poverty? The very basic needs you have eventually wear out and go away, and you end up being dressed like a beggar. You end up looking like a beggar because you can't even supply your basic life needs. And I just want you to understand, when we walk away from that relationship with God, we can't even make our own basic needs. It'll change the way you look. It changes the way you dress. It changes the way you think. Everything about us is destroyed. Slowly destroyed the longer we're gone from our dad. Now, it says, when the father saw him, he had great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. You see, the problem is we left home. This is a picture of our relationship with the Father. God isn't punishing us. He's not mad at us. His heart is broken for us. Whenever we go away from Him, the pain comes from the separation from life. It's where the pain comes from. Listen, we were taught this other picture of God, where God is judgmental and He has all these rules and regulations, and if we don't do what He says, there's this coming, and we have all these wild, crazy ideas about God. But who does Jesus say God is? Jesus said the problem wasn't he was, this man, this young boy was disrespectful to his dad. I mean, I remember one time, Jim Davis, God love him. Y'all don't know Jim. Jim worked for me for quite a while. He's a great guy, loves God. Jim has been a floor installer his whole life. He works at the airport now. Jim has banana fingers, sort of like the Bayes brothers, you know. They're like that big. And one time I got one of our Harding students to help me with an illustration that he's sitting on the front row, and he wore, like some of you have done before, he was wearing ear pods and had a cassette player. This was before phones, really. He had a cassette player, he's got ear pods on, and he's sitting on the front row, and he's got that thing turned up as loud as he can, disrupting everybody around him and being totally disrespectful. Well, I hate it, but I forgot I asked him to do that. And I don't hear well, so I can't hear it. But the people around him, I think it was Kay's mama, was like sitting right behind him, and she asked him to turn it down. And he was disrespectful to her. Oh, no. Jim was sitting. He was sitting right where Bob, where you're sitting. Jim was sitting right there. And Jim said, I can't hardly do it. You ever had somebody thump you like that has really, really strong? He would have knocked him out of the chair. And Jim said, I was just about to thump him right in the back of the head for being disrespectful to that lady. And luckily, Jim didn't do it. And I eventually remembered what I'd asked Matt to do, and I got him out of the hole. But you got to understand, this young boy was that disrespectful to his dad. He deserved to be punished. He deserved to be put in time out, if nothing else, to at least get a lecture. What would you do whenever you give yourself to serve somebody else and they are disrespectful to what you've given? How do you feel when somebody, you love them unconditionally, you serve them, you give, you do whatever it is you love somebody, and they're disrespectful to you? You see, for us, love involves control. The most powerful love in the world that changes the world is an unconditional love that loves freely without expectation. Now, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. But what did this dad do? It makes me nervous. makes me a little nervous. It's a little too intimate, really. Y'all know God wants to be intimate with you today? And I know, I'll just tell you this. We sang that song, and you know, we were singing about Jesus and how wonderful He is. And in the middle of that song, Jesus was like, you know, well, I don't know. It's sort of weird to me. I just heard this morning. Names are a big deal today. I don't know why. Other than names are individuals. Except for some of us have the same names as other people. And like, there's three Tommies in the room. Isn't that strange? It's like, there's three of you guys. And God sort of cares about Tommy today. He knows your name. And then I met somebody I never met the door before, and she's not sitting by Tommy, she's sitting by Barbara, which is wise between Barbara and Lisa. Very Nancy today. And I know, that's a good place to sit. I wouldn't sit over there. He will embarrass you. He embarrasses his daughter all the time. And but Nancy's a big name today, and I thought of Tim and Tommy's, y'all's mom, Nancy Bays. And you see, names are important because God cares about you. He's not mad at you. See, this son came home, and that makes me nervous to even talk like that because I believe today that really, if you want to have an encounter with God, you can today. If you haven't already, you can now. We're going to have a ministry time at the end of this message in a couple minutes, and God, you will experience, not head knowledge, not just thoughts, you will experience unconditional love. When you encounter God, you can't not experience unconditional love. And so listen to what this father did. It was so crazy that I did this thing myself today. The father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over and over and over and over, and kissed 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 and kissed. He kissed him like kiss, and like, okay, that's too much. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's unconditional love. No lecture, no punishment. Get the ring, get my robe, get sandals. He's my son. Do you know what sin is? Breaking relationship. He didn't list all the things that boy did. You know what he did out there with all that money. You can imagine what he did. Father didn't say a word about it. He didn't even say a word about the money. He didn't even say a word about the disrespect he had shown. Now listen, unconditional love is not enabling love. See, if the father would have enabled him, he'd have been sending him money every month so he could continue to live out there away from him and survived. And the son would have never come back in relationship with his dad. It's not enabling. But when the son came home, the father loved him with open hands when he gave him the money, and he loved him with open hands when he came back home. It's the most powerful thing that father could ever do. You want to be a good parent? Love this way. Even though this isn't about parenting, this is about life. You want to have a good life? It comes out of relationship. You want to fix your friend's problems? It's about him. Introduce people to unconditional love. Love unconditionally and you'll change the world. It's what Jesus did. 2,000 years ago, he loved unconditionally. He went to the cross and he set you and me free so that we could have a relationship with him again. He didn't punish us. He set us free. Now, if you want to live in another land, you can. You know, it's interesting when you go down through here, you know what happened with the other son, right? The one that stayed home. Father threw a party. The other son is mad. Won't come to the party. And then the other son, he says it. He says why, right? He says why he was mad. The older son was working out in the field. And the servant said, it's your younger brother. He's returned home. He's come back home. You know, Jesus just wants you to come home. Now, the father said, your brother who was lost, now he's found. You know what that word lost means? And it's in the perfect tense. It's a very interesting word. It doesn't mean lost like we think lost. That isn't what it means. It means being destroyed. You see, because the moment we leave him, the moment we leave that loving relationship with him, we step out into this world and destruction starts happening in our life. And it's an event that happens at some point we left, and it's going to continue until we go back home. That's what lost means. It doesn't mean something that's going to happen in the future you don't know. It's a current tense reality when you walk away from God. And the truth is, God is going to throw a party when you come back home. Now, the other brother, you know the other brother did? He did what a lot of us do. We judge. The other brother was judging his younger brother all those years when he was at home. Because the younger brother, the older brother, he gives a hint about it. He said, listen, I've worked like a slave. He didn't work like a slave. I stayed home and did everything you said. He was disrespectful, disobedient this whole life. Now, the other brother, if he's going to judge his brother that way, he's judging himself that way. And you know what, when you judge yourself that way? Well, I obeyed you, so why didn't you throw me parties? You have expectations. And your expectations won't be met. No more than the younger son's expectations were met. He thought he would be happy out there, living in a different family, living with different values, living in a different place would make him happy. It didn't. The older brother, he's staying home. He's judging the younger brother and judging the father. And he wasn't happy either. And what did the father say to him? If you ever read this parable, you know. The father said, listen. You've been with me the whole time. See, he was with him working, but he wasn't with him in heart. He said, everything I have is yours. It doesn't even mention that he had $600,000. I don't know what he did with that. But he wasn't happy. As you know, the only thing that will make us happy is a relationship with God. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the goat or the sheep. It's not about the land or the property or anything. It's only about him. And you know, so many times we want to judge ourselves based off the stuff instead of the relationship. And we are sorry for the stuff. That younger son was sorry, and the father said, listen, it's just about this. It's right here, my heart. And the older son, and it's funny, the father did two different things. The younger son, the father didn't go get him. And do you know he could have sent soldiers? He had enough money. He could have made his younger son come back home. He could have never let him leave. He could have gone and got him after 2 years. He didn't do it. Now the older son, the father went out in the field after him. You see, I believe God cares about this. And you know, it's funny, in Hebrews, I love this passage. If you've never looked at it much, here, because it's not enabling. And unconditional love is not enabling. It's free, without control, with no expectations. It's no expectations, but it is faith that I'm going to change the world, because it's the most powerful thing on earth. Now, listen what this says. I love this verse in Hebrews 12. He says, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as sons. Now, there's three different words there. The first word for discipline is what you do with young children. It's just a slap on the wrist or a slap on the bottom. It's what you do with little kids to correct them, to keep them from falling off a cliff or from drinking bleach or something. It's just a slap on the wrist. It's a loving slap that parents do to young children. And the first word for discipline, that's what that is. The second level of God's discipline is rebukes. It's It's that thing, come let us reason together now, says the Lord. You see, the younger boy, he was getting his wrist slapped. But then it says, he came to his senses and he thought, what is going on? Well, you know what happened? The third word is chasten. Chasten is the word, it's a Greek word for getting beat with a Roman whip. Wow. You go from hand slapping to reasoning and talking to, in a friend of mine's language, getting just beat the hell out of them. And it's all for love. The younger son had experienced all three levels. He'd experienced it. And he came home once they got the whip out. And his father gave him everything. The older son wouldn't come in because he had separated from his dad too. He was judging his dad and his dad's love for him. So listen, I want you to know something. The most powerful thing on earth is unconditional love. It's the only way God relates to us. He loves you. And the best thing that will ever happen to you is coming back home to Him. Stay home with Him. But you know, a lot of us stay home by our actions, but we're not there by our heart. We do the stuff, we obey the rules, we listen and we learn the laws, but we don't know Him. We don't experience Him. And you know what? You'll end up like that older son. You'll start judging other people who aren't keeping the laws the way you think they should be kept. And you'll start judging God for not punishing the people who aren't keeping the laws that you created. And you know what? There's one law with God, and it's called love. You know what God wants from you? You. He wants your heart. He wants to love you. You see, and that's where life comes from. And a lot of times, I think we're all a mixture of both these sons. We're all a mixture. Sometimes we think doing it our way will be better for us. Sometimes we go all the way to a different land and we experience being lost. And it's disastrous. Jesus wants you to come back home. And so you have the answer. He's the answer and you have the answer to share. You don't have to tell people what to do. You just have to love them. You want to change our government? Love people unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Well, wait, that won't change anybody. Oh, really? Try it the other way and tell me how you're doing. Are you changing our land through your attitude and through your words? No. No. You can change the world if you love unconditionally. And we believe in it. It's the very core of who we are. We create opportunities for people to encounter God and experience unconditional love. Sometimes it's us unconditionally loving them, and sometimes it's a direct encounter with God. It's unconditional love. So this morning, I just want to give you a chance. Let's all stand up if you want to. You can sit down if you don't want to. I'm saying that unconditionally. Unless your dad tells you to stand up, then I would suggest standing up. He might thump you in the back of the head. Be wisdom, right? That's what unconditional love is. This morning, I believe that the Lord, when I was praying about this, I'm like, God, you really will do it, won't you? He'll do it. He will. If you need to experience unconditional love, He'll meet you. Most amazing thing I've ever seen. All those people that you love, their lives are being changed. And the world is being changed because of unconditional love. So this morning, if you want to experience, if you need to experience Him, we want to pray with you. So there'll be some people up front here that want to pray with you. And when we do that, it's so you can have an encounter with God. That's our goal. That's the whole purpose. What you do with it, you're free. That's unconditional love. So, Father, I just thank You for the journey we're on. Jesus, I just appreciate this parable that you told and you had written in the Scripture for us, and who your Father is. And God, we do. I just ask you would transform our minds, that we would begin to see exactly the way you see. God, that when we think of you, we think of the Son, we think of Holy Spirit, we would think of unconditional love. And God, that our very life, the source of our life is you. It is unconditional love. And God, our mission is to love people unconditionally in everything we do. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. And there'll be some people here who want to pray with you. And it'd be a good day to experience and have an encounter with God. Amen. God bless you guys.